Today we celebrate the tremendous feast, a feast that unites all of us in terms of our sacramental life, the life of the church itself, Corpus Christi Sunday, the solemnity of the holy body and blood of Christ. I can tell you that there have been many times in my priesthood where that Eucharist has been really an example of the centrality and the statement of faith. One particular time that I remember was a young man who was dying of a disease. He was in his early 40s. For a period of time, he had been in the seminary and developed friendships with some of the theologians that I was teaching. And so they asked me, could I and would I celebrate the Eucharist with him and with his friends, because the time was very short for him. Of course, I agreed. Went up to basically his apartment, and there the young man, pretty much ravaged by the disease, was there, and we celebrated Mass. And when he took that Eucharist, he had such a glow on his face. And I said to him, Dan, afterwards, I said, Your sense and your relationship to the Eucharist, I said, was so profound. I said, have you been contemplating the Eucharist? He says, Father, all the time. He said, every time someone comes, visits me when I'm sick, and Eucharistic minister brings that Eucharist and holds it up to me, he says, I acknowledge that presence of Christ in my life. And he says, I've been saying that verse from John's Gospel all the time, which has brought me just such tremendous comfort. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. He said, those words, he said, strengthen me, gave me hope. He says, I know my condition. I know what's going to happen. He said, but I know because of one who I am joined to through this Eucharist, I know I will live forever. That happens all the time when we celebrate those funeral masses that we all have to attend for those loved ones, friends, that we are there. We as Catholics gather around that Eucharist and we are consoled by the statement of the faith in Jesus and the reception of that Eucharist, which is Jesus himself coming into our lives. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states this way, and the Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Christian life. The source and the summit of the Christian life. The other sacraments, and indeed all ecclesiastical ministries and works of the apostolate, are bound up with the Eucharist and are oriented towards it. For in the Blessed Eucharist is contained the whole spiritual good of the Church, namely Christ himself, our Pasch. Our Pasch meaning our mystery, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. When we take a look at the Eucharist, we can understand a few things, why it is the source and the summit. And I would offer to you, especially on this day, that it is real sacrifice, it's real food, and it's a real relationship. And of course, all of those highlighting the fact that it's the real presence. When I say it's real food, you know, can anyone ever imagine that that small little host that we take would feed thousands, would feed the millions, would feed the over billion of Catholics throughout the world? And yet it is real food. Those of you who have been involved in trying to lose some weight at any given time or trying to get healthy, you will hear people immediately say, if you want to be healthy, you have to eat right. People will put up all sorts of signs on the refrigerator, you know, a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. They'll do that as constant reminders, right? We know that. In terms of our own lives, we know we're constantly reminded to eat right. And if you eat right, you'll be healthy. Eat the right foods. Choose the right foods. This is food that literally gives us strength and health for the journey. This is the right food that nourishes the soul and gives us the vision for continuing on in our lives. This is true food. Interesting, when the disciples immediately came to Jesus and said, they're hungry. What did Jesus do first? The first thing he did is he healed. Well, it's one thing to be made whole, but then it's a completely other to continue to be whole. Someone can be healed, but that healing continues on only if we, taking that healing, understanding that gift that has been given to us, and nurture that gift correctly. And here the disciples come to Jesus saying, they're hungry. We've got to do something to feed them. And Jesus rightfully says, well, feed them yourselves. Do something. Feed them yourselves. This was important to be able to see what Jesus was about to do, because they knew immediately they were helpless to be able to feed this multitude. They were helpless. But they were not helpless when they joined their activities and gave up what little they have to the Lord Jesus, who could multiply it for others. In the Eucharist, when we take that Eucharist into our lives as true food, we know that our lives are called by Jesus to be shared. Sharing whatever gifts, talents that we have, sharing them with our brothers and sisters, so it can multitude the presence and the food that is given to us as community, shared, that Jesus has shared with others. Real food. It's real sacrifice. For how do we come to experience and to know Christ in the Eucharist? The bread and the wine transformed into his flesh and blood. And where is it given? We gather around this table, which is also the altar of sacrifice. We gather around the table, which is also the altar of sacrifice. Sacrifice was so essential in the Old Testament to show that relationship with God, the transcendent God, to offer God some aspect, some token, some symbol of our willingness and our pleading to join with him for his forgiveness for our sins and the sacrifice that's offered, for our thanksgiving, as we saw in Melchizedek in the Old Testament, for our thanksgiving. And Eucharist is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for what? For the great sacrifice that he made for us in giving us his Son. Think about that. It is real sacrifice. For it is Jesus again and again that is offered as that Lamb of God given to us and offered for us in sacrifice, so that we might attain the relationship that we desire and we long for fully with God. In the same way, we are called to make that same sacrifice, to understand in gratitude the great gift that is given to us, and to be able to share it. And why is that offered? It's offered because it's also a real relationship. One of the aspects immediately that comes to mind in the Eucharist is you take Christ into your life. What a profound, profound statement, that literally in and through the real presence of that Eucharist, you're taking that Christ into your life. A relationship which is so intimate and so unique. A true relationship. But sometimes because of the busyness of our lives and the way our lives are so distracted in the world, we rarely see and rarely embrace the transcendent which is all around us. Think of what that Eucharist fulfills. Think of the essence of the incarnation. And the Word was made flesh. And here we are right now proclaiming the Word of God from this scripture. And in moments, I will go to the altar, and together, as we offer that sacrifice, the Word will be made flesh and will dwell among us. Literally live in us. Literally live in us as we take communion and establish that divine relationship. This Sunday being so special for the world, I believe that our new Pope, Pope Francis, in a pastoral heart, wanted us to recognize the great transcendence that happens here in the real presence. When we start to lose that, when we start to pull away from the real presence of Jesus, which unifies us, which joins us together, which motivates everything that we do, we pull away from understanding God with us. In our acknowledgement of the real presence in the Eucharist, in the celebration of that fact, in adoration, in meditation, what we are doing immediately is we are being joined together into the transcendent, the divine. And we realize how much more we are called to. That in this world, this is not all that there is. That we're called to so much more. And in the Eucharist, here we have the real presence which calls us to the more about our own lives and about our own community. So wisely, as being the good pastor, recognizing the need for all of us together as the flock under his care, he calls us today to spend some time contemplating, meditating, and celebrating our relationship to the Eucharist. He has called for all of the churches throughout the world to offer some time of adoration to the Eucharist. And we will do that. I have asked all the parishes to put some time aside to be able to do that in every one of our parishes. And I certainly hope the pastors have taken that direction. Here in the cathedral, we will finish Mass and I will process with the Eucharist into the small chapel. And we will spend some time in adoration. Why? Because we will be in union with the whole church throughout the world, giving thanks for the presence of Jesus Christ, who gives himself freely in the Eucharist to feed us. What would be the easiest way to approach the transcendent God? And think about this in terms of the great revelation and wisdom of Jesus. What would be the easiest way to approach a God that we know is the essence of our very being? Who, if he even stops to think about us, we cease to exist. Who fashioned the world as we know it. Who knows every molecule of our being. This is a God who's all powerful and mighty. How do we approach him? Jesus offers himself as the way, and he does so in the simple form of bread and wine, food for the journey. How grateful we should be for the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and the great gift that is given to us in being able to receive him into our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.